Well, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, we're going to be in Luke chapter 24 this morning. We're going to begin a new sermon series this morning and go for the next couple of months together. And the sermon series is entitled The Gospel According to the Old Testament, or we could think about it this way, Christ in the Old Testament. And the purpose of that is because I want us as a church to love all of Scripture. We say as Christians and specifically as Baptists that we are people of the book. And we are, and we should be. But I want us to make sure that we're a people of the whole book. There's a tendency to spend a whole lot more time in the New Testament studying the Scriptures. And there's a good reason for that. It's in the New Testament that we discover exactly who the Lord Jesus is and seeing His life and His death and resurrection and how to apply that to our lives. But before the time of the New Testament, God in His mercy and in His grace and providence gave His people the Old Testament to foreshadow and point to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so even as believers today in 2023, we need the Old Testament, and we need to be well-versed in the Old Testament. I started a new series on Wednesday night through the book of Revelation this past Wednesday, and in order to properly understand the book of Revelation, you have to understand the Old Testament. There are literally hundreds of variations of aspects of the Old Testament found in the book of Revelation, and if we don't understand that, we can't understand the book. And the same is true for the rest of the New Testament. If we don't know our Old Testaments and know that all of the Old Testament was a promise of the Lord Jesus, of our Savior, then we've missed it. There's a popular TV preacher, Pastor Rick last week kind of made a mention of him, and I'll make another mention to him. He, a few years ago, came out and said that we need to unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. We need to stop worrying about the Old Testament, stop worrying about Genesis and the law of Leviticus, and stop worrying about the prophets and the Psalms. But the problem of that is then we miss a whole lot of what God has to say to us. That is not the proper way to understand all of Scripture. And God has given us in His mercy and grace all of Scripture for us to know Him and know Him well. And so over the next couple of months, we're going to look at, beginning next week, key passages of the Old Testament that make promises of the coming of the Lord Jesus. We'll begin in Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis 22 and Exodus 12. And we'll look at these different passages, all of them that were significant for the time of the Israelites in the Old Testament, but have a whole lot to say about the coming of the Lord Jesus. But this morning, before we even dive into our Old Testament next week, I want us to understand why it is we believe that that's true. Why it is that we would even read the Old Testament in that particular way. And it's because that's how Jesus understands the Old Testament. That's how Jesus Himself reads the Scriptures and sees Himself as a fulfillment of these Scriptures. And there, it's hard to find in the New Testament a better passage than Luke chapter 24 that really shows us this and teaches us this truth. And so this morning we're going to briefly walk through this whole chapter together, seeing how it is that Jesus reads the Old Testament and how we ought to as well. So I'm going to ask if you are able and willing to stand, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word, Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they had entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all the things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about the things which had taken place. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" And Jesus said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all of this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women were among us, were amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of the angels who had said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And Jesus said to them, 'O foolish men, slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going further. But they urged him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is getting towards the evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in and stayed with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, breaking it. He began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?' And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, 'The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon.' And they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. And while they were telling the others these things, he himself stood in their midst and said, 'Peace be to you.' But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?' And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it before them. Now he said to them, 'These are my words, which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things which are written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and of the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that the repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. Father, we thank you for the truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for your word that testifies to this truth this morning. Father, as we seek to understand the truth of this passage, we pray that you would lead us and guide us and open our minds to the truth of Scripture this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. There are three things that we're going to see from this passage. The first is found in verses 1 through 12, where Jesus predicted his death and resurrection. I know this is not Easter Sunday, but I want us to draw out a few things that help us to see while we are going to read the Old Testament from a Christ-centered perspective. We have these women who come to the tomb to prepare to anoint the body with the spices. And when they get there, they recognize the stone has been rolled away. They have this conversation with these two men who are angels, and they ask them a question in verse 5. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? Why are you here looking for the Lord Jesus? Do you not remember that he said he would rise again? Verse 6, he is not here, but he has risen. Remember. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Let's stop there for just a minute. There's a significant word there in verse 7 that Jesus uses throughout the Gospels and that we find throughout this chapter of Luke, where Jesus says, I must die and I must rise again. Now we're going to see in just a moment that's in order to fulfill the Scriptures, but it's also to save people from their sins. If Jesus had not lived a perfect life and died sacrificially on the cross, an atoning death, and been resurrected, all of that is important, then we would still be in our sins. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, our faith would be in vain. And yet, it happened. It was true. It was real. The Lord Jesus did die and was resurrected, just as he said. And verse 8 tells us that they remembered his words. It came back to them that they were remembering walking with Jesus and living with Jesus and spending that time with Jesus when Jesus said those promises. Luke chapter 18 gives us a glimpse of this. Luke 18 verse 31. When Jesus is speaking with his disciples after talking with the rich young ruler. Verse 31, it says, then he, Jesus, took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things which are written throughout the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. Notice Jesus knows his Bible really well. Jesus knows the Scriptures, and he says what the prophets foretold and spoke of about the Son of Man, who is Jesus, must be accomplished. Verse 32, for he will be handed over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. Jesus was clear during his time on earth and his ministry that this was his purpose of coming to the earth to do this and to fulfill the Old Testament. Verse 34, but the disciples understood none of these things. And the meaning of this statement was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend the things that were said. It would not be until after the resurrection that their eyes would be open to what Jesus had said while they were with him when he was still alive. And going back to Luke 24, these women there in the presence of these angels, the angels saying, do you not remember? Do you not remember what the Lord Jesus had said over and over and over? And it was in that moment, verse 8 tells us, they remembered his words. They remembered what Jesus had spoken to them. And verse 9 says, they returned from the tomb and reported all the things to the 11. They went back, told the disciples what had happened. What happened with the Lord Jesus and that He was resurrected as He had promised. But they did not believe it right away either. There was something keeping them from understanding fully as well. But we see the first thing is that Jesus had predicted His death and resurrection. And Jesus not only predicted it, but it came true. Jesus' words were true in His prediction. And then verses 13 through 35, we see that Jesus taught the Scriptures on the road to Emmaus to these two disciples. As we read earlier, these two disciples were walking, heading to Emmaus from Jerusalem. And on their way, they encounter a man. We know this man to be the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But they did not see Him right away. They didn't recognize Him right away. And He asked them in verse 17, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you're walking?" And then it says, they stood still, looking sad. And it tells us why they're sad. Verse 18, one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" And then Jesus does what a lot of us do when we know something, but we want to hear what someone has to say about it anyway. He says, "What things? What are you talking about? Tell me what it is, why you're sad, and what has happened in these last few days." And they begin to say it was Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and in the sight of God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers delivered Him to the sentence of death and crucified Him. They're saying, this is why we're sad. The one that we followed, the one that we believed in, He has been put to death. We are sad because we thought, verse 21, we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. They just had a wrong expectation of that redemption. They thought that Israel was going to be delivered from the hand of the Roman Empire. But there was a greater deliverance that Jesus would accomplish on the cross, which was the deliverance from sin and death through His blood. And so they said, indeed, besides all of this, it's the third day since these things have happened. And then they told Jesus, we were talking, and the women came and told us that His body was no longer there, that He had risen. Verse 25 tells us, and He said to them, "O foolish men, slow of heart to believe." Slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. He's saying, you're not understanding. I was teaching this morning in Mark chapter 8 to our youth Sunday school, and there was this miracle that Jesus did, the feeding of the 4,000. And then, this great miracle, He feeds all of these people with these loaves and these fishes, as He had already done with feeding of the 5,000. And then He gets in the boat, and the disciples forget to bring any food. And Jesus says, "Are you hard of heart? Have you not yet believed in who I am and what I can do?" You are, is what Jesus says here, slow of heart to believe. You're not understanding, and He tells us this to these two disciples here. All of what the prophets had spoken. Verse 26, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into His glory? And then verse 27, then beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, He explained to them the things concerning Himself and all the Scriptures. Jesus, on the road to Emmaus, had a Christ-centered Old Testament Bible study right there with these two disciples. He stopped and He went back to the Word of God. And He began to teach them how it is that He fulfilled these Scriptures. And like I said, over the next few months, we're going to look at some of these key passages, but I can't help but this morning think about maybe some of the passages that Jesus would have went to that day. Maybe He went to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that promises that, "Behold, a virgin will be with a child and bear a son, and she will call His name Emmanuel." Maybe He went there and said, "Listen, Do you not remember that there was going to be one that was born of the virgin, that would come and be God with us, and he would be called Jesus? Do you not remember that? Do you not remember that Jeremiah 23 tells us not only would he be born of a virgin, but he would live a righteous life? Jeremiah 23, verse 5, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he would be called, the Lord our righteousness." Maybe Jesus was saying, do you not remember the Old Testament, that he would be born of a virgin, that he would be righteous, he would be holy, unlike Israel, unlike Adam, unlike every person that has lived on this earth. He would be different. He would be the Holy One. Maybe then he took him to Isaiah chapter 53, one of the most beautiful passages in Scripture that teaches us about the death of Christ. Isaiah 53, verse 4. "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourgings we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." Maybe it was Isaiah 53 that the Lord Jesus spoke of that morning, or maybe it was Psalm 16, verse 10. When David is praising the Lord and remembering the goodness of the Lord and pointing forward to the resurrection. Or David writes, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay." And Peter tells us in the book of Acts that verse was not meant to speak about David. It was meant to speak about the son of David, Jesus Christ, who would fulfill that by dying and being resurrected. Maybe it was these passages that Jesus began to explain to them, helping them to see that what had been spoken of in all of these Old Testament books were not just fun stories to teach in Sunday school, but to point to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that saves us from our sin. And he continues in verse 28, "And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going further. But they urged him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is getting towards the evening, and the day is now nearly over.' They were being hospitable to him, so he went in and stayed. And when they had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it. And breaking it, he began giving it to them." And then listen to this. Verse 31, "Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?'" This is a significant moment. These two disciples have just eaten with Jesus, and then he vanishes. And all of a sudden, their eyes are now open, and they recognize who the Lord Jesus was in that moment. That it was Jesus on that road and not just some stranger that was opening the heart of the Scriptures, unlocking the Old Testament with the key of Jesus to teach us who it is that he was. And it says our hearts were burning in that moment. Our hearts were strangely warmed in that moment. Have you ever had that experience when you've read the Word of God or heard the Word of God preached and your heart has been strangely warmed because you can truly see and hear the truth of who the Lord Jesus is? See, these disciples did not understand at first, and this is not the only account in Scripture and in the Gospels where people missed Jesus at first. If you want to, turn just a couple of pages to the right towards the Gospel of John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus is teaching how he is one with the Father, how he himself is God. And he is using different witnesses and testimonies that prove this point. He begins in verses 33 and 35 speaking about John the Baptist who prepared the way and spoke of him. Verse 36, he speaks about his miracles that he did that bore witness to who he was. Verses 37 and 38 speak of the Father, the God himself, bearing witness to who Jesus is. And then verses 39 through 47 say that the Scriptures, the Old Testament text itself, testify to the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 39. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I have come in the Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. But how can you believe when you receive glory from one another, and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Notice who it is that Jesus is speaking to here. He's speaking to Jewish people, speaking to Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes and the leaders of Israel of the day, people who knew the Bible. He's not talking to atheists here who have no concept of God and who do not believe in God. He's not talking to pagans and those who believe in false religions. He's talking to people who claim to follow God. And he says, you have misunderstood the Bible. You have misunderstood the Scriptures. Verse 39, you search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life and that these testify about me. And you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. They missed the Lord Jesus. They missed him. And all week, as I have been meditating and thinking about these texts, my heart has been burdened for those of you who may have missed Jesus, have missed him from the text. You may have heard a lot of Bible studies and a lot of sermons in your life. You may have read the Bible year after year, but have your hearts been warmed? Have your hearts burned by believing in the Lord Jesus, not just knowing the Scriptures, but believing the Scriptures? Jesus says in verse 41, I do not receive glory from men, but I know you and that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. They missed him. They read the Old Testament. They read the books of Moses, the first five books of the Old Testament, and they never saw that Jesus was the one that was promised. They never saw that he was the seed of the woman, the one and only son, the Passover lamb. They never saw any of this. Because of that, they not only misunderstood the Old Testament, they missed receiving eternal life. They missed the purpose of it, which was to believe in Jesus. Has your heart burned in belief with the Lord Jesus? Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear the truth of who God is this morning? My prayer is that God would open our hearts to see the truth of Scripture. That's my prayer over these next few months, is that we would love our Old Testaments more because in them they teach us more about the Lord Jesus. They are promises made by God and promises kept in the New Testament. That God, who predicted the Lord Jesus, kept his promise. He is a promise-keeping God. And that's why we need the Old Testament to remind us of that. There's a third thing that we see here in this passage after these two have their eyes opened and their hearts opened. And the Lord Jesus makes another appearance in verses 36 to 43 where he eats with the disciples. In verses 44 through 49, we see that Jesus opens their mind to understand. Jesus opens their mind to understand. Now, he said to them, verse 44, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." This is the third time that we see the scriptures being opened up to remind these disciples what Jesus had said was true. Now notice, these disciples, they would have known the Word of God really well. They were Israelites. They were Jewish people. They knew their Old Testament. Paul tells us that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 when he's writing to Timothy. When he's writing to this young pastor, this is Paul's last letter, and he's encouraging him in the face of persecution, in the face of false teaching. He says in 2 Timothy 3:14, "You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and have become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." He says, "Timothy, remember your grandmother and your mother and myself who have taught you the Word of God." And at this point, it's the Old Testament. Verse 15, "And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Remember the Old Testament. Remember that it points to Christ. Verse 16, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." If we believe that text, that all Scripture is inspired by God, then we need to seek to understand the Old Testament from a Christ-centered view. And this is what Jesus is teaching these disciples here. Going back to Luke 24, after Jesus said, "Do you not remember these words?" Verse 45, "Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures." He opened their minds. Why is it that he did it? Because we cannot do that ourselves. We know that we can't save ourselves. We are all born spiritually dead, Ephesians 2 tells us. But by the mercy and grace of God, He creates within us a new heart. He gives us new life, and in that new life, He opens our minds to understand the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, "The natural man can't understand the things of the Spirit of God, but when you have the Spirit, you can begin to understand things." And if you are here this morning and you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, your minds have been opened to the truth of who Jesus is. And then he says in verse 36, "And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem." Jesus is saying, you have to understand this in order to be equipped for the mission that I am going to send you on. So as we close this morning, a couple of thoughts of application from this last few verses. We've said this already, but we need to make sure that we have the key to understand the Old Testament, which is the Lord Jesus. We have to make sure that we are looking back to Scripture. And we're going to walk through and see how to do that together. And that's my prayer. But we also have to understand one of the purposes of this is to see that all of Scripture is one story. All of Scripture from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 is teaching one grand story of redemption. See, I emphasize that because when I was growing up, I heard a lot of stories about the Scriptures, about the Bible. I heard about Adam and Eve in the garden. I heard about Noah and the ark. And I heard about David and Goliath and Jonah and the big fish. And all of these stories, Samson and his life and destroying the part of the temple that he was in. All of these stories, but no one told me No one helped me to see that these stories were not just about David knocking out a giant, but it was a greater picture of the one that would come that would be the son of David that ultimately would destroy death and Satan and the grave for us. That there's a greater purpose in these Old Testament stories. These were real things that happened, but they were all pointing and leading us to the one that would come. It's all interconnected in one story. There are 66 books in the Bible that make up one book. Over 40 authors in 1,000 years of written testimony by the pen of these different authors. But there's one divine author. That's the Holy Spirit, who would inspire these men to write these things down so that we could see that God is the God of all of history and that these stories are not just random stories for us to teach at Sunday school, but to see the Lord Jesus in all of His glory. And if we miss this from the Old Testament, then we have missed the purpose of Scripture, which is to teach us the redemption that we have in Him. And finally, my prayer as we close this morning is that moving forward, not only with this series, but every time we open the Bible together, is that verse 45, that He opened their mind to understand the Scriptures. That's my prayer, is that God would open our minds to understand the Scriptures together. Psalm 119, 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from Your law. That's our prayer. This week, as you study Scriptures on your own, pray that prayer. Pray that God would help you to see and help you to hear the truth of Scripture, that your minds would be opened. As we gather on Wednesday night, let us pray together that God would help us to see the truths of the book of Revelation. As we gather again next week in Sunday school, that God would help us to understand the Scriptures then and even next Sunday as we worship. That's our prayer. Because unless the Lord opens our mind to the truth of Scripture, this is all in vain. We cannot do this ourselves. The Holy Spirit that inspired the Word of God will also give us illumination to understand His Word. This book, God wants us to understand this book. God is not trying to be secretive about this. He wants us to know Him through His Word. And we have to ask ourselves if we have the ears to hear what He has to say. And we have to pray that God would open our minds to what He has to say and that we would be obedient to listen to His Word. That's my prayer this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful for the truth of Scripture. Lord, we thank You that You have inspired all of Scripture by Your Holy Spirit, Father. And that has been given to us so that we can know You, Lord. And my prayer is that we here at First Baptist Church of Lowry's would be a people that love all of Your Word, Father. And in order to do that, Lord, You have to give us understanding. And so we pray, Father, that You would lead us into the truth of the Scriptures each and every week so that we can know You more and serve You more, Father. So that we can love You more and proclaim Your love through Jesus Christ to the nations, Father. That's our prayer. And that's our hope this morning. So, Father, we pray that You would lead us and guide us and help us to know You more through Your Word. It's in Christ's name we pray.